whenever we have a rain delay before a game, you never know how much Blue Jays talk we're going to get after the game. So what do you want to see out of Aaron Sanchez tonight? I'd love to know. And what do you need to see out of Aaron Sanchez in his fourth major league start to want to give him a fifth major league start? 416-870-0590, *590 long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Alan in Toronto, what do you want to see out of Aaron Sanchez tonight?
See if he gets his breaking ball over the plate. I like his composure. He's very poised on the mound, but he's a rookie. All rookies are question marks, and just like to see his breaking ball get over the plate a little better.
His curveball is spectacular when it works, and when it doesn't, it can be awful, and it can come back and forth within the same at bat, never mind the same game. But yeah, some consistency with that curveball would be terrific tonight.
I wanted to ask you about Adam Lind. His power numbers were down, but his batting average was quite high last year. It was 321. Did they unload him because they became disenchanted with him? I know he had two different stints on the disabled list last year. Or was it because they wanted a strata? How do you decipher something like that?
I think they didn't want to pay him $7 million. I think is really what it comes down to. They didn't think that a platoon DH who hits for a very high average but didn't hit for any power was worth $7.5 million. I think that was more it than anything else. And they knew that someone would find him appealing at that price and that they could get an asset for him, and that's exactly what they did. I was surprised. I thought he would be back. I thought, you know, this guy was a terrific DH for you, platoon or whatever. I'm happy to platoon a guy if he really, really is good on one side and really, really not good on the other. I was very surprised that he was traded, but they figured, you know, with their financial allotment, they were better off spending the money elsewhere.
And, of course, the biggest rap against him was that he couldn't hit lefties. He was below 200
lefties. He can't hit lefties. Yeah. I know he's hitting 364 against lefties this year. It's 12 plate appearances. He can't hit lefties. He's proven that over the course of his career. But, yeah, and that's another one of the factors. Again, I'd have kept him. But Marco Estrada may wind up being an impact guy for the Blue Jays this year, especially, you know, we're talking about Aaron Sanchez. If Sanchez goes to the bullpen, Marco Estrada probably goes to the rotation. A little update for you from the Sportsnet out-of-town scoreboard. The Baltimore and Chicago game, the Chicago White Sox-Baltimore Orioles game, has been postponed due to civil unrest. And we just hope that everyone in Baltimore stays safe. Baseball is secondary, absolutely, when there are riots going on. They have not announced a makeup game, but the game has been canceled tonight. Sean in Caledon, you're on the rain delay program. What do you think what do you want to see out of Aaron Sanchez?
I would like to see the infamous quality start tonight, but I think realistically some progression would be good to get him into his fifth start. So, if, like Pete Walker says, they found a little issue and they fixed it, maybe just bringing down his walks in this start will see him get through to the next start. And I think that's all you want in a young kid is progression.
Yeah, I think that's, you know what, that's a really probably the best take you can get on it. You just want him to be better than last time, right?
Yeah, for sure. What do you think? And I know you're not a big fan of Papelbon, but, you know, rumors are rumors this time of year. But there was a rumor today that the Red Sox maybe kicked the tires on him. Maybe the Phillies started that rumor. But what do you think of a guy like that potentially coming to the Blue Jays and locking down that ninth inning and then moving everybody back? Because I think that's your issue right now with the Blue Jays. I know it's still early, but I'd really like to see them get a more established guy in the closer role than Castro and put Castro in the eighth and Cecil in the seventh. And I think that makes your bullpen a lot stronger.
I don't know that Papelbon makes your bullpen a lot stronger, but I agree that if you could kind of settle everything down and get a big-time capital C closer here, that would be a good thing. I don't know that one is available. You look at Papelbon, and it's true his numbers were outstanding last year, but his fastball velocity has gone down each of the last few years. His strikeout rate has gone down. He's getting older. None of those things are a good sign, right? If you want somebody to come over and stabilize your bullpen, especially when he's making a crap load of money. I think that in order for Jonathan Papelbon to become a Blue Jay, it would have to be in the same sort of trade that Texas just made for Josh Hamilton, where the Rangers don't give up anything and the Angels paid almost the entire salary. I think that's pretty much the only way you're going to see Jonathan Papelbon here.
Well, maybe Pat Gillick can do that for his buddy Beeston as a retirement gift.
Hey, I'm all for it.
I just think you got to get what's out there, and there's not much out there. And you're right, Papelbon's velocity is down, but he seems to have almost recreated himself as one of those guys that relies a bit more on his location. And, you know, small sample size again this year, but he's getting the job done.
Yeah, but he's getting the job done in the National League. And this is a very, very different beast. I mean, I get it, but he's not the guy I want to pin my hopes on. And I also don't want to have to look at that face every day. Oh, that face he makes before he throws every pitch. It's just horrible, isn't it?
He is an angry man, but he never faces the pitcher in the National League. So
no, I know, but I mean, but he's facing closer. He's facing pinch hitters, weak benches. He never faces the pitcher, but the 7-8 in the National League can't hit either. That's important to remember.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. It is the Rain Delay Program, and while we're taking your calls, I should remind you that we have a new segment, well, not a new segment this year, but we have sort of modified our Home Hardware Ask the Experts segment this year. And this year, we're taking your questions on the Twitter, and you send in a bunch of questions, and we look at them, and we pick one every game, and we'll answer it on the air. So if you tweet us using the hashtag HHAskTheExperts, that'd be a great way to get your question answered live, in color, on air by Joe Siddle. So do that. That's a heck of an idea. Rocky in Markham, I heard you this morning already. Welcome to the Rain Delay Program.
Thanks for taking my call. What do I expect from Aaron Sanchez? I think he's going to cut down his walks. I still expect him to give a certain amount of walks, but I think, as you noticed from the first start up to his last start, he's been making progress. I've been noticing. I think if Russell Martin, you know, helps him out, tries to control him, that'll be great because last time when I saw him pitch, there was at times he looked like a really good pitcher, like his stuff seemed like a touchable. But I still expect him to see some walks, but hopefully he would have a better performance because he seems to progress every time. And another thing I want to talk about is the bullpen. I'm not sure about the Papelbon situation, but there's rumors saying that the Blue Jays are in the mix for Alfonso Soriano, but I could see Rafael.
Yeah.
But
although that'd be fun. Alfonso had a good arm.
Yeah. maybe as a player like Ichiro, but I think the Detroit Tigers might go after him a lot more because they just lost out on Joe Nathan because he's going to be out for the year, and I could see him going to the Tigers instead of the Blue Jays. But it'll be nice because like there's nothing to lose, and I expect him to sign like a 1-year deal, right?
Well, that's apparently been the holdup. Is it that Scott Boras, his fine agent, has demanded a 2-year deal for Rafael Soriano, and nobody is budging on that at all. So if he drops to 1 year at a reasonable rate, then I think that he might have several suitors. The Blue Jays will absolutely be one of them, but Yeah, it's Detroit's need seems to be a lot more clear. But then, you know what? They had a shot at some closers last year that they didn't sign when they had major bullpen issues with Joe Nathan healthy, and they didn't do it. So we'll see. It'll be very interesting to see where Rafael Soriano winds up. I mean, it's stunning that it's the end of April and he still hasn't signed it.
Yeah, I agree, because I remember last year Kendry Morales and Steven Drew didn't even sign till like I think May, and
till after Morales, after the draft they signed.
Yeah, exactly,
after the draft.
Exactly, because they were tied to the draft pick, and I would expect Soriano to sign, but it would be nice for the Blue Jays to go after him. If not, I would see probably like a Steve Delabar or even a Bo Schultz, because I was listening to Blue Jays Central, and Ben Wagner believes that Bo Schultz has a higher octane of pitching, so he would probably be the next guy out of the bullpen from the Bisons, right? So
yeah, not as a closer, but as definite help if the Blue Jays bullpen needs a short reliever down in the minors. I think it would probably be Bo Schultz at this point, and he was really, really, really impressive in spring. The Blue Jays, the Boston Red Sox are in a rain delay. We are expecting the first pitch in about 11 minutes, and we will have you at Fenway Park. We're not going to miss a pitch. Don't worry about that. Until then, we take your phone calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And we go back to the phones. Joe in Mississauga, what do you want to see out of Aaron Sanchez tonight?
Well, I'm excited about the arms. I just think with Sanchez, it just seems that his balls are obvious balls, and the batters aren't offering at all. So he's just got to get closer into the strike zone. That's what with the last game, anyways. And I think it's electric. I think him, Castro, all those guys. I'm excited about the team. I think they just haven't hit their stride.
Oh, there's no question that they haven't hit their stride yet. But the stuff is fantastic. And we saw it last year. We saw it out of the bullpen when he was really only a two-pitch pitcher. And a lot of the times he could get through an outing with just his fastball because it was so good, and you're never going to see a guy twice. This year, he's had to really modify that because, you know, starting pitcher has to pace himself and has to see hitters three and four times, although he hasn't gotten deep enough, I don't think, to see anybody a fourth time. Maybe a fourth time, a couple of hitters in the last start. The control was a serious issue last time when he was – I mean, we're not kidding around when we say he was all over the place. He was all over the place, and you're not going to fool anybody with that stuff.
And on another point, just it's nice to see them pick up somebody like Travis and him doing. Looks like he's a keeper. Looks like he's in the lineup every day and doing a great job.
He is, unquestionably. And I appreciate the call. Yeah, Devin Travis has been a revelation, honest to goodness. Nobody expected this from him. He's hitting .359 with an 1102 OPS, which is nuts. He's leading the team in home runs, which is nuts. And I honestly don't expect to continue much longer. I mean, you've got three of the best home run hitters in the game in Bautista, Encarnacion, and Donaldson. And he's playing really, really good defense. Really, really good defense. So really nothing that we've seen out of Devin Travis has not been just fantastic. Tim is in Sarnia.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. How are you? Welcome to the Rain Delay program.
Hey, be careful now. Don't be wrecking our really good new rookie pitcher we got here.
Which one?
I like Sanchez.
I don't want to wreck him.
I enjoyed watching him pitch last year, and I was really happy to hear that he's going to be a starter this year. And he's got all the tools. He'll get her figured out. He's a good kid. I hope everyone be patient with him. I think he's going to be a real good asset for Toronto.
I agree with you. Patience is not a virtue among Toronto fans, though. It's been a long time since we've had something to cheer about. There's
some merit to it, but at the same token, I think we really hurt the Toronto Maple Leaf team, too, but it is what it is. Don't blame that on anybody but
management. It's not the fans' fault that the Leafs haven't won a Stanley Cup in 50 years.
I hear you. Hey, what do you think about, do you think we, I why didn't we keep Seisalin on the second game at Tampa?
Why didn't they?
We had that game in the bag, and we just kept going to the bullpen, and every time we went to the bullpen, and Toronto, the Jays have been hurting in the bullpen for so long, and you know what, Cecil, of all the people that we had in the bullpen on that game, I think Cecil was the kind of the more of the rock that we had there, and we brought him in for one hitter, and we threw him out again, and we had that game, we lost it, and I think we should have had that game. What do you think? Do you think we should have?
I think they should have won that game. I don't think the pitching changes were the issue. I think that, it was the matchup. You would rather have, or John Gibbons at that point wanted Miguel Castro against James Loney more than he wanted Brett Cecil against Logan Forsythe. And there was merit to that. I mean, Loney at that point had played in two games all year. He was just coming back off the disabled list. He's not a guy who has a lot of pop, and yet he drilled the first pitch double into the corner. Cecil can handle righties, and he could have handled Forsyth probably, but Castro should be able to get James Loney out too.
Game three was, you know what, I thought the Jays played really good in game three. I just, for some reason, Tampa was just hitting the holes, and it just didn't matter where Toronto was playing. Tampa was hitting them holes the whole game. That was just kind of the way they fell on them there.
It kind of was, but also the Blue Jays didn't score until they were two out in the ninth, right? So
true enough.
There you got to go. I got to go, Tim. I appreciate the call. We're getting ready for baseball at Fenway Park. The tarp's off. The national anthems are done. The Blue Jays and the Boston Red Sox are getting set to go.